Hello, my name is Stephen Schaub. I'm the leader of the Fidgeted Revolution, as well as a master printer and hybrid artist at Indian Hill Imageworks in Pollard, Vermont. This audio blog is on how film is made then and now. Okay, if you haven't already watched, click on the first video link on this page. It has a 1958 Kodak promotional video on sort of the production of film. It's 15 or 20 minutes long. You should absolutely watch it. It's amazing to watch. Okay, so I've assumed now that you've already watched it, and let's talk a little bit more here. Why this was so fascinating to me is that I just got back from a visit to Eastman Kodak, where we were discussing the retirement of Kodachrome, as well as, on their invitation, getting a tour of building number 38. Building number 38 is the building where all films by Eastman Kodak are produced, from Motion Picture to Tri-X to Actar. They're all produced in this one building, and it is an enormous building. It might be the largest building I've ever been in my life. Prior to 1996, different films were made in different buildings. So, you know, at Kodak Park, there were lots of different buildings, and different buildings specialized in producing different kinds of films. What they've done now is they've moved everything under one house, under one very large roof, and that allows them to control the variability of the process. And this is something that's really important, and this is sort of the heart of this conversation that I want to have. It's about the control of variability. When I went to RIT, it was beaten into my head that controlling variability was important. You know, the way you process films, the way you print, the way you mix your chemicals, you know, the way you scan your film, you know, you need to control the variability in those processes so you can have a repeatable process and a process that you as the artist can rely upon to work every single time. Well, when I watched that 1958 video on how film was produced, you can see, because of so much interaction of people, that of course there's going to be variability throughout the process. Yet Kodak and Fuji and Agfa and all of them produced wonderful films for, you know, decades upon decades using these processes. Yet now, with the use of robots, with the use of infrared camera systems, barcoded chemicals, so you know you're exactly what you're getting, with the use of computers to monitor the entire process, variability has been controlled. It's been controlled to a very, very, very tight tolerances. And so, as a result, the film that you and I are using today arguably is the most controlled and accurate film from roll to roll, emulsion to emulsion. And that's really wonderful. One of the other things that's fascinating is that the old method of producing film, and I'm sure this was true for every manufacturer, was that when they were going to produce, say, Tri-X, they would produce a fair amount of Tri-X. You know, it wasn't the kind of thing that you would just produce, you know, a few hundred rolls. You know, you would produce enough to really sort of, you know, hit the market with a lot of Tri-X. The way Kodak is manufacturing film now is much more sort of in a small batches. The idea that they're producing the amount of film that the market currently requires. So if they think they need 10,000 rolls of film to be on the market, they'll produce 10,000 rolls. If the following week they need 10,000 more, they'll produce 10,000 more. You know, in any one day in building 38, they could have 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different types of emulsions and different films being produced. The system is set up that it allows them in a very tight quality control manner to be able to produce these small batches of film. Now, there's a huge advantage to this. It's that you and I are getting also now very fresh film. Because this film is being produced, once again, in highly controlled small batches, when you go to a store that has a reasonable turnover of film, the film that you're getting hasn't been sitting there, you know, for 6 months or 8 months, or was made a year ago. You know, it's really been made very, very, very recently. So we're also, beyond the fact of being able to enjoy film that has less variability involved in the production, we're also enjoying, you know, better quality, fresher films that, you know, were just recently manufactured. Now, of course, you know, I, like I'm sure you, are saddened by a loss of a lot of the great films within our industry, from Infrared to TechPan to the fact that Agfa's no longer around, Forte is gone. I mean, so much has been lost in the last decade. It sort of makes me shudder. But at the same time, what we have right now is as good as it's ever been. I know people can say, well, Tri-X is different, it doesn't have as much silver, or they've changed this, or they've changed that. Well, you know, some of that may or may not be true. But I can tell you, 100%, with just 100% confidence, that the film that you and I are loading in our cameras right now, benefits from over 100 plus years of film technology, benefits from the fact that, you know, Building 38 now exists and that quality control is so tight. And we also benefit from the fact that we're getting fresher film stocks. I think all that's good. Yes, I'm sad that so much has been lost, but at least what we still have right now are really great films to continue to work with. Whether it's Kodak film or Fujifilm, it's nice to know that there's wonderful films still being produced. I also posted another little video that shows all of us sort of getting into our clean suits prior to going on this tour, which is kind of fun. And that's about it. Thank you very much for listening. Can't wait to hear your thoughts. Have a great day.